Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 515. Science Faction, lightning tractor beams.
Okay, you know what? I was like half asleep before this episode, but that title grabbed me. Way to go.
Yes. Yes, lightning tractor beam sounds like something I would have thought of when I was high at 19, written down on a piece of paper next to my bed, went to sleep, woke back up and thought, what was that great idea I had? Then looked at it and went, God, you're a fucking idiot when you're high.
It does sound like magic. But if you were to say like, hey, I know Damien hates archaeology articles and I need his mind sharp. And like, I know he's just going to start zoning out. I might name an episode something like this, like Penis Enlarging Cocaine Machine.
Beautiful dickheads.
Well, I'm curious. Go on, Bobby.
Oh, dear. And speaking of beautiful dickheads, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. And with me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing great. And while I am not a beautiful dickhead on the outside, I am a beautiful dickhead on the inside.
Yes, we call you a beautiful dick urethra.
Yes, exactly. I could pass a baby through this urethra.
And you have. It was an interesting smuggling operation in Thailand in the late 2000s.
I did it to show up a lady I had a bet with. It's not, you know, it's not important. I could pass that, baby.
Thailand has some archaic adoption laws, and there's only certain ways to get around them.
You must find a man who can pass it like a lady. I know a guy.
Oh, dear. And I want to give a big shout out. Thank you to all of our Patreons. We just started our Patreon this last week, and already we had a bunch of people sign up. I was, quite frankly, flabbergasted in, like, the best way possible. I was flabbergasted, like, when Damien sees a beautiful penis head. Like, dude, just an amazingly great feeling flabbergastedness.
I was in the Army. That is, we've discussed that. That is canon. Whether it's true or not, it's canon on the fictional universe of the show. Just as Bobby is a scientist in the fictional universe of this show.
Yes, just like Baghdad is hot in the fictional universe of this show.
You son of a bitch. I wasn't mad about anything else. You know what? I'm gone. I'm done. Dramatic exit. But in the Army, coming back, people call me, people call a lot of the vets who participated in like Iraq and other things, they call us heroes. And you know what? I'm not going to debate about whether or not we are or aren't. But I will say that from this vet's opinion, you're the real heroes. And I'm not saying that, like, I mean, really, like, you guys didn't invade a country. You guys are supporting science. You guys are supporting science education. You guys are the real heroes. You guys didn't commit war crimes. Wait.
Damien, you are still a hero for what you did in Thailand, though.
Exactly. I passed that, baby. I baptism by urethra fire.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this because, frankly, I kind of figured when we launched our Patreon, at least at first, maybe it would grow, but I figured we would start with, like, Superfan Dwayne and, like, Damien's girlfriend because she felt bad for us, and that would be it. But, like, a surprising amount of just normal people from around the world are now actively supporting us, and I couldn't be happier or more excited or surprised or anything else. I am happy to say that we do have some good benefits, so starting at a really low level, we give you...
We're a podcast with benefits.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, we met on Tinder, so that's why we have to begin.
Hey, let's podcast and chill. Come on. Let's just podcast and chill. Everyone, come on over.
Not only does at any level do you get the I Call BS episodes, which are now only on Patreon, but in addition, at the lowest level, you still get a little bit of merch. We send you some stickers and stuff. At a pretty low level, we send you some good merch, some shirts, which are Patreon exclusive only. They'll never be sold in a store, so we will eventually have a merch store. These will not be in there. This is one of those OG things. It's like getting an original Star Wars action figure. You're not going to be able to buy it again later.
You couldn't podcast and chill with Science Faction because you'd be too busy laughing to fuck.
That's true.
Like, you'd be going down on each other, and all of a sudden, Patreon would say something. You'd be like, well, now we need to listen to the episode.
Then you get a sweatshirt at a pretty low level, too. And we have one that I really like, Damien. Somebody gets a hand-drawn. This isn't some computer artistry thing that like somebody just digitally adds. Each one of these is hand-drawn. You get an 11 by 17 caricature of me, Damien, and yourself. So you send in a picture, and the artist will do a caricature of all three of us, like we did with our old host, Jackie. So that one's pretty cool. And then eventually, at the top-tier level, you actually will get to do a show with us. And we already have one of our top tier patrons who is going to do a science faction with us probably on the Thursday episode. And so that's going to be really, really fun. So we're really excited about all that stuff. And by the by, like I said, you get I Call BS. You're going to get to vote on which bits we do, because now that we no longer do I Call BS as our Thursday show, we are alternating bits. This week will be science fighters. Still have to explain that bit to Damien every once in a while, but that's the one we're going to be doing this week. And you will get to vote on which one you want to hear us on. So even if you're at the lowest level, you will be kind of like making decisions for our show.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Somebody else is going to be on the show. Why wasn't this run by me? I need to talk to them now. Let them know that I'm the top dog and that nobody is coming in and going to take this position. And then I'll slash the tires of their car. But I need to know what city they're in, and I need to book tickets in advance. So if you could let me know who it is, Bobby.
I am super, super psyched. And by the way, I'm going to include as a special science faction related gift to all of the people we're sending stuff out to, whatever level you join at, and you can join at the lowest level and it'll be cheaper than buying this in the store. Not only are you going to get some stickers sent out and some merch and whatnot and access to I Call BS, but just because I love all of our patrons and want them to live, I'm also going to include a few KN95 masks in there and just send those out. So listen, it's actually just a deal based on how much KN95 mask costs. If you just want to live through this pandemic, go ahead and sign up for our Patreon, and then you'll get some KN95 masks thrown in on the top.
Throw in some condoms too, Bobby. Promote safe sex.
No, these are, our listeners are the ones I want to breed.
Oh, well then, poke holes in those condoms so that there's a false sense of security, so they use them.
And not only that, but if you do sign up at any level, we will give you guys a shout out on this here, the main show, but we don't want to flood our regular listeners and like cheapen it by just listing people like they do all the time. So it's going to be limited to just three per show. I'm going to list the first three people, the people who signed up literally hours after we started the thing, before anybody could even find it. They were like stalking us. They figured it out. I am super excited about these guys. Manpreet Singh, Fred Milano, and Rebecca Throop. Thank you guys so much for being our absolute first patrons. If you guys haven't heard your name, don't worry. Like I said, we are sparsing it out because we want it to be special. So we're not just going to randomly yell it out. However long that takes, it takes. But you are special enough to us that you're not just going to be one in a list of 20. So you will get your name out on our show. Thank you so much, guys. For those of you guys who haven't looked it up, go ahead and check out our Patreon. And by the way, if you can't contribute right now because times are hard, we totally get it. That's not a big deal. But thank you for listening anyway.
It's so cool because two of the names you mentioned of the three, so 66% or a D in yes. high school grading.
Yes.
Of the Patreons you read are also patrons of Awful Neutral.
Ah.
Which makes me feel good that I'm either A, providing fans for this show.
Uh-huh.
Or B,
siphoning them off.
I am taking people off of a science track in college.
Yes.
And getting them to do perhaps a more political science track, because instead of studying on Saturday nights, they're playing D&D and listening to nerd shit. And playing video games, Bobby. And I did that.
Also, if you guys listened to last week's main show, you heard us talk about our expounding numbers in Belgium. And we talked about that a little bit. And then somebody wrote me and he's like, hey,
leave Belgium alone. You son of a bitch.
I'm here in Belgium. And just so you know, I like logged on. I like downloaded your entire back catalog because I really wanted to listen. So I downloaded like 500 episodes.
You're a hero. That guy's a hero.
Well, yeah. And he's like, could I be the cause of the rise of downloads in Belgium? And I was like, yeah. Actually, I think you single-handedly are probably the cause of the rise in listens in Belgium, which taught me two things. One is to always consider different options in what you're seeing in statistics, which is an important thing to know in math. And number two, every one of you can very easily bring your country to at least the number two spot simply by downloading our entire back catalog, and then Damien can make fun of your country.
Oh my God, I roasted an entire nation because of one man's actions? Fucking awesome. Every one of you should do this.
Speaking of war crimes.
Which is why there won't be a roast this month, because we know what's happening. But
Sweden was close. If you're in Sweden right now, I don't know, just being super tall and wealthy, whatever it is you guys do over there. If you're in Sweden right now, you're close. It wouldn't be hard to get Sweden up to number two. You guys were catching up to Belgium pretty quick. All right, let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this his science articles.
Isn't it weird that all the stereotypes about Swedish women involve that they look really good in bikinis, but from what I also understand of that nation, there's not a lot of occasion to wear said swimwear.
That is a good point. That is a really good point, actually. Isn't it also funny that the thing we are most familiar with from that country is easily assemblable cheap furniture, and yet that country is not made out of easily assemblable people?
No, I've tried.
Yeah,
trust me. Don't let the police know, Bobby. By the way, it must bother because I have heard it. In fact, in high school, I remember doing it. And Damien in high school was like, "I'd like to imagine."
It was that D student you were talking about before.
Yeah, that a California D is still like an Arkansas A.
Sure.
So I have to imagine like there's a lot of Americans who confuse Sweden and Switzerland.
Yes. They're like, hey, where are all the banks in this IKEA?
No, we actually have a culture and a nation and a language of our own.
Well, yeah, and chefs. They have very talented chefs from what I can understand.
Burger, burger.
Hey, we may be dirty, but we don't curse on this show.
We don't work that blue. Whoa, Damien, whoa, you can't say that about Israel. I don't care what language it's in. You cannot say that about Israel on this podcast.
Oh, that was the German chef.
Oh, good Lord. All the Nazis had to go somewhere after the war.
All right. Article number one, a lightning tractor beam.
This sounds super cool. Now, this sounds like something that Doc Emmett Brown, who created time travel, improbable technology.
Yes.
But it was within his power to also create, because it has actually happened in our reality, a lightning gun.
Damien, that is a silly pop culture reference. This is actually, of course, in reference to the end of Jedi, where Emperor Palpatine uses force lightning to attack both Luke and Vader.
He got his in the end. I haven't seen the last one.
So this is a really interesting idea. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this isn't the first time this has ever been achieved, but this is the first time it has become practical. So what is the idea of a lightning tractor beam? Well, first of all, what is lightning? Believe it or not, that question is actually much harder to answer than you may think. And there are aspects of lightning that we still don't fully understand.
I know that they called me Black Lightning in high school.
Did they?
Oh, yeah, I forgot I went to the same high school with you. No, they didn't. I was going to say that perhaps I went to a very wealthy high school, and that being the only person with a Latino last name would earn me the title.
Oh, okay, that was just close. Yeah, okay. You were the affirmative action Black Lightning.
And it was also, since it was a very affluent school, and I was bussed in, the only student bussed in, I was the only kid who could run a 40 below 8 seconds. And so they just called me Black Lightning. I didn't select the name.
So lightning is basically a charge differential from clouds to the ground. And actually, a lot of times what people don't realize is lightning goes up from the ground into clouds and down from clouds into the ground. And it's a charge differential where you essentially have too much negative or too much positive in one or the other. And that charge dissipates with a beam of electrons flowing through the air. And the way it works is it essentially ionizes the air around it, meaning it is charging the air kind of widely around these heavily charged clouds, and a stream of specifically ionized air then becomes the path of least resistance that makes it go. That's why when you go out into a thunderstorm, you can kind of feel that the air has a different feeling to it. It's literally electrified. Sometimes your hair will stand on end if you are actually in a close proximity to heavily ionized air.
I climax in heavily ionized air.
I've read that about you.
Don't kink shame me.
And so basically it's the attempt of electrical potential to dissipate between two areas, which is why things like lightning rods work, because that metal pole essentially gives that electricity a path to more easily and quickly go from one place to another. And that path is through that pole. That's why it goes through tall things like trees or buildings on top of hills or whatever it is. It is electricity finding the path of least resistance between the clouds and the ground.
And when it hits people, it's just because they were usually the tallest object in a given distance, or they had just walked past a black cat, or I'm trying to think, what else is bad luck in cartoons?
So what researchers have been trying to do is see if they could find a way to direct it. Because like you said, lightning strikes, it destroys things, it destroys objects, it destroys buildings, trees, it can strike people. And by the way, it doesn't have to necessarily directly strike you to cause a problem. If it strikes the ground near you, especially if that ground is wet, you just standing near it because of the discharge of that much electricity, you can actually end up being a conduit and getting shocked. Funny story, my grandfather, when he was about 16, was walking like across a park or whatever, during a lightning storm.
And killed a man. Nothing to do with lightning, but I just wanted to vent.
Kind of. He was walking with his buddies. There was like five of them, and lightning struck. It didn't strike them, but it struck near them. And he woke up on the ground, and three of his five buddies were dead. And he was just like, holy shit. Like, if I had been three steps to the right or two steps to the left. Now, by the way, when my dad first told me that story, I was convinced that I would grow up to have like the powder powers from the movie of the 90s, and was super disappointed when I did not.
No, you were very sickly and pale, and yes, your hair was never that impressive. So I suppose...
Yeah, that is true.
Though I will say, everybody, or let me paint a verbal picture of Bobby. Bobby mm-hmm. is rocking a proud quarantine lion's mane. He has not yes. gotten his hair cut.
Yeah.
He could do a man bun now, and Bobby was never a man yeah. bun guy.
No, I was always high and tight. Like, I was always short hair because it's easier, and especially in the field, and you get less sweaty and stuff. But I've been serious about COVID. I needed a haircut in March, and I quarantined myself at that point before I went to go get one, and it has just been going.
Bobby, in our group of friends growing up, was like Hank Hill. If yeah. instead of love of boring gases, it was love of boring sciences.
So what these researchers wanted to do is figure out, can we like attract this in a way other than just using a metal pole? Can we do something different? And what they realize is if they make a laser beam the proper way, which is that they actually are using...
By hand, with Amish tools, and need more focus on that laser, English.
They're using a laser to heat graphene microparticles in the ambient air. And essentially what they're doing is they're doing the same thing lightning naturally does, where it finds the path of least resistance, except they're creating a highway of least resistance. They're almost doing a wire through the air, if you can imagine it that way, using a laser beam. And that draws the lightning down that area. And you can essentially direct the lightning over long distances to this thing. Now, this isn't the first time this has ever been done or proven. They actually first did this research a few years ago, but they just were able to do it with a new technology that allows them to use 1,000 times less power. Not half power, 1,000 times less power, which makes this feasible because before you needed big power generation units, it was very costly, you couldn't move the thing around. Now we're talking about something that could be portable. You could bring to an area that has a lightning storm, deploy it, and draw all of that lightning to one specific area. That's really important for a lot of reasons. You might think, well, what's the big deal? Can't you just have a lightning rod on top of your house? We have, especially here in California, huge amounts of brush fires get set off by thunderstorms, especially in the eastern Sierra Nevada mountains.
Yep. A lot of people do gender reveals during thunderstorms.
Yes, that's right.
If you could somehow take the thunderstorm out of it, people wouldn't gender reveal in California.
No, that's actually the new one, is you use this laser beam, the lightning comes down. If it strikes the nearest man, it's a boy. If it strikes the nearest woman, it's a girl.
Really leave it in Zeus's hands.
Super cool idea. And this just became a really feasible, really interesting idea that I think we will see in a very short amount of time. I think this will become a technology that our kids grow up just seeing as being every day, and that we can use to prevent forest fires, to prevent damage to certain areas when huge thunderstorms or lightning storms come in. Heck, think about what this would mean for airports that have thunderstorms around them. You could divert the lightning around so they were no longer a danger to the planes flying. This has amazing implications.
And the prank potential is through yeah. the roof. Smiting your, I mean, I'm the Zeus of pranks, and that I kill people with thunderbolts.
I imagine a situation from a 90s sitcom movie where they have to try and convince this banker to not foreclose on the Goonies house. And the guy's like, and if I'm wrong, may lightning strike me down. And then they aim the laser through the thunderstorm.
Oh my God.
Those Goonies killed that guy.
Yeah, no, we've seen your fat dance, child. No, this won't distract the police. But hey, let's give that kid an MIT scholarship. This is the 80s, and he created a lightning tractor beam? Oh my God. Charges dropped. The CIA needs this kid. the DARPA program needs this kid.
Yeah, I think this is the 80s. We still have drum brakes on most of our cars, and that motherfucker got a lightning tractor beam?
Charges dropped. America's standing in. Reagan's president? Oh, my God. Yeah, the Soviets are going down.
It also brings up an idea that I have always been very interested in, and it's kind of a fringy idea, but this kind of makes it more realistic now that we could draw lightning in a specific area, which is to use lightning for power generation. Now, there's a lot of problems with how to do that, but there's a lot of potential there given how much energy is in a single bolt of lightning, and what an amazing renewable energy resource that is. If you could find a way to capture 1/10 of a lightning bolt, I think you could power New York City for a couple days. Like, it would be really, really interesting. And now that you could draw the lightning to you, I mean, the ability to set up an infrastructure to then capture that lightning is much more realistic than before, when you'd have to, like, run around with a lightning rod or something.
Can we make it a law and then immediately repeal the law that former presidents have to have their scrotum attached to the lightning tractor gun? And then immediately repeal that law?
And then repeal it? Yeah.
And then children of presidents, if they have scrotums, need to also... Sorry, Barron.
Not as long as they have the filibuster.
I'm just saying, let me just sit here and read descriptions of the president's scrotum to clear time so that this legislation might die on the floor of the United States Senate.
Not only that, but this technology of creating these super small laser beams that are, by the way, like 1/10 the width of a human hair, the ability to create these super focused, high intensity.
It's pretty girthy, if you ask me. I mean, if you're asking me, I think that, I don't think there's, I mean, you're saying it like it's small, but I mean, like, there's plenty of things are pretty huge. You know, I mean, like, how many millions of atoms compose the diameter of that hair, Bobby?
Yeah, so somebody called you hair dick recently, didn't they? It was a doctor. He said it was indistinguishable, if not skinnier than most of my pubic hair.
It was part of a compliment sandwich, and that was part of the compliment.
You don't want to know what that sandwich was made out of.
I am crying right now.
Yeah, the technology has other uses as well, including possibilities for electronic scalpels for remote surgery. Because with something like this, if instead of having to have a physical scalpel, think of like surgeries that we do now with scopes, where you literally just stick like a camera, a flexible camera inside somebody, and then you do surgeries with them. Well, think how much easier that is if you have these little laser scalpels that you could essentially cut things out with, that is the width of a human hair, and you could, you know, cut out big cancerous tumors. A lot of very interesting aspects for this technology. This is something that flew way under the radar because I think people don't understand how crazy and just mysterious and neat lightning is and the implications for this. But mark my words, in our lifetimes, and if you are listening to this, if you are under the age of 80 or over the age of 80, but one of our patrons, then this will be something that you see in your lifetime.
It's our key demographic. Surprisingly, our podcast doesn't do well with people over 80.
Yes, or dead people and people who love WWE.
Prove us wrong. Undertaker, if you're a listener, please let me know so I can beat your ass.
On to article number 2, a scientific controversy.
Are you talking about our ongoing feud with both StarTalk and Skeptic's Guide to the Universe?
Let me tell you this. One of these days, I'm going to beat the shit out of Dr. Stephen Novella. I am going to rock that old Connecticut physician like he's never been rocked before.
I love it. And the fact that this is an ongoing thing that's been going since our first
episode
10 episodes.
I think. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
That says that there's going to be a resolution. And guess what? We're growing. You know, we spent time in the trenches. You
That's
never
right.
did. You were gifted podcast celebrity. That's why
That's right.
you can't walk down New York Street without getting a hand job, Stephen Novella.
This is a true story. Summer ago, the last Comic-Con that actually happened in 2019, I did a live Comic-Con event for National Geographic. My co-star person was Cara Santa Maria, who's one of the guest stars of Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. And the entire time I was sitting there talking to her, it was very pleasant. I enjoy her work, so I like talking to her and stuff. But I was wondering how I could like try and do what the CIA tried to do with Castro. Like if I could sneak an exploding cigar into her pocket that she would then pass on to Novella to kind of get at him from afar. I spent half my time enjoying being around a fellow science educator whose work I appreciate. And the other half of the time wondering how I could use her to get to Novella.
You know, I've listened to both of our podcasts. They put out a good product. It's very informative. But do you know that they've been going longer than we have?
Sure.
And they have yet to mention a penis once in a comical way. One time?
I'm going to go ahead and make a statement on this. I enjoy Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. I listen to it quite often. They have yet to make a comical statement.
Yeah. They had a girl on the show for a little bit who actually could roll comedically a little bit, but then she left.
That might have been Kara. Anyway, this is really interesting. So a paper has really gotten people riled up. It is in Nature Communications, and this paper has drawn a shit ton of controversy. A real lot. So much so that Nature Communications has temporarily suspended the paper to review it.
Holy shit, I'm looking at this paper now. I don't think the N-word was necessary or added anything scientific to this. Jesus Christ. Was this out of Liberty University?
How to Kill That N-Word, Stephen Novella by Robert Timothy.
Good God! We just got patrons!
We're losing them all. Yeah, so this is really interesting. So this is a paper that suggests that young scientists, especially female ones, shouldn't take on female mentors in science. So let's talk about what this paper says and what they did, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I mean, your female mentor is trying to have it all. She not only has to be great in her field, but she also is a mom and probably a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist.
Interesting combo.
And an MMA fighter.
Again, I can't understate just how much controversy this has caused. Like, this is the only thing, I think, in the science world that got more emails than Damien's weekly failure at I Call BS. Like, this
son of a bitch.
This got, like, a big thing. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to quote the article in the journal Science about what they have to say about it so I don't get anything wrong and so that nobody signs off our Patreon because of this. So this article, which was published on the 17th of November by a trio of researchers at New York University, Abu Dhabi, used a data set more than 200 million scientific papers published over the course of more than 100 years to identify several million mentor-mentee pairs. It then followed the career achievements of the mentees based on citations to papers they authored during their first 7 years as quote-unquote senior scientists, determined here only by the time since a researcher's first publication. They found that early career scientists who co-wrote papers with what the authors call big-shot researchers, defined by their yearly citation rate, went on themselves to have citation rates that were higher than average. More controversial, that's not really that surprising, by the way, more controversial, they report that overall, the more female mentors an early career scientist had, the lower the impact of the papers that they published when they themselves became senior scientists. They found that the effects on impact, which was measured by citation rates, was particularly strong for female mentees, and they also noted that female mentors of women suffer on average a loss of 18% in citations on their mentored papers. They finish by saying their gender-related findings suggest that current diversity politics promoting female-female mentorships, as well-intended as they may be, could hinder the careers of women who remain in academia in unexpected ways. And female scientists, in fact, may benefit from opposite-gender mentorship in terms of their publication potential and impact throughout their post-mentorship careers. Now, I know what you're thinking. Was this written by a dude who was just trying to get the hottest female grad students to become his mentees, and this was his way of going, hey, no, don't go study under Stacy, come over here?
Yeah, how did Jordan Peterson's article, how was it reviewed?
Well, okay, so I have my own problems with this. Let's talk about the criticisms that the scientific world has come out with. They were critical that the definition of things like senior scientists were fuzzy, which they were. That citation rate is not the ultimate measure of success, which is true, though I would push back slightly to say that is still kind of commonly used, even by universities as a measure of success. But I actually do agree with them on that. And that even if the results were valid, they could be because of institutionalized sexism, which is absolutely true. Now, I agree to some percentage degree with all of those criticisms. Most importantly, the lack of quantifiability. This is something that's very hard to quantify when you're saying, who is a big shot scientist? Who is a mentor mentee?
Tony Stark is a big shot scientist, I would say.
Like, you published with this person, therefore they were your mentor, and that's not always the case. Half the time, you might not even be in the same state as the person you're publishing with. You could be doing research in one place, they could be doing research in another. And also, a lot of times your mentor is not somebody you publish with. So, like, personally, I've had a lot of mentors in archaeology. Probably, you know, one out of four of them, if I were to say my main mentors, I have published a paper with. And the other people were people who showed me how to do things in the field, who took me out and showed me how to do archaeology. Like,
taught me how to talk to girls.
Hey, baby, how do you like arrowheads?
Bobby, you're doing it all wrong. Oh, scientist cool cat. Tell me, what can I do? You gotta learn to dance.
Yeah, so who is a mentor or senior scientist is hard to derive from publication listings. And again, obviously sexism, especially, I want to point this out, like even if you were to say like, well, you know, it's the 21st century and stuff, there's obviously still sexism. But let me point out something. They went back 100 years to the point where like women had just gotten the right to vote in this country. I have a feeling there was definitely some very, very strong sexism at play there. So at very least, you should have knocked out the last 80 years of this.
What were they wearing to keep them from voting? No, really. Was it like a big ball and chain, like something that would prevent them?
So I actually think this paper is fairly transparently not accurate, though it probably has some interesting points. Like there might be some interesting things. I'd especially like to see some analysis of the last 20 years. I'd like to see things where people actually declared their own mentor and mentee relationships, and then they went back and looked at those. I'd like to see better examples, because by the way, some people's definition of success isn't how many times they publish. It could be their work in the field. It could be
how great a dad they are. Or mom they are.
Yeah. Well, it could be teaching, which is a huge goal for a lot of people who don't necessarily want to do primary research. They really want to teach. By the way, it could be that you get out of academia altogether and you go off and form your own private company and go do work out there.
What if your goal is to bang grad students, a la That's Peter Venkman right. from Ghostbusters, a movie you haven't seen, so don't fucking steal valor.
Go Slimer? I don't...
Yeah, you know what? He did bang Slimer. You saw the movie. Okay.
I saw the Kristen Wiig vehicle. I enjoyed it.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, no. But here's something I wanted to bring up. And let's say I bought their conclusions, and I don't. I really don't, given this. Here's the question. Would it still be fair to say young women should look to have male mentors? Ignoring other complicating factors, like, for instance, sexual harassment. Like, you might be, or probably, way more likely to be sexually harassed by a male mentor than a female mentor. So there might be a trade-off there where you're like, it's okay if I publish 20% less later on because I'm not getting groped. Like, maybe there's a trade-off. So maybe just looking at things like publication or whatever, or even success as an academic, maybe that is not the whole of what you should be looking at.
But I mean, if you're a young girl, maybe you would feel safer with a female mentor, and that is hard to quantify. Yeah. And it's something you or I will never understand. But then again, you know, Snow White trusted her stepmom.
Yes.
You know, and that didn't work out for her. I don't feel a stepdad would have done that. But then again, I also know stepmom to be somebody who gets stuck and you have a really cool but complicated relationship with. So, I mean, I don't know.
And often, by the way, stepmoms and like dryers or sink disposals, like a lot of things get them stuck. And by the way, Damien, I'd like to interrupt here. You are actually incorrect. I know exactly how it feels because my first job in archaeology when I was a young, supple 22-year-old was working for a company that was owned and run entirely by gay men who were fairly open about their sexual harassment towards the new young buxom blonde-haired guy who was in the office. And I know exactly how women feel when they are sexually harassed.
A far more qualified female applicant wasn't hired so that they could have their eye candy in one. Yeah. Robert Timothy.
Yeah, yeah. I was asked to do water screening without a shirt on. There was a lot of shady things that went on at that place. So I have a lot of sympathy for women because I know how they feel.
I have so much sunburn. Why can't I put my shirt on? Please.
So ignoring complicating factors like sexual harassment and stuff. So it might well be, it could well be, and again, I don't think this is the case, but it could well be that sexism, including sexism directed towards your mentor, could negatively affect your career. Like, let's say sexism affects a career 10%, and then if you get residual sexism because your mentor is a woman, you have another 5%. Well, if you're a woman, then that's 15% of your career that gets taken down, right? So these are just arbitrary numbers I'm throwing out as an example. Whereas if you're a man and you have a female mentor, you can have a 5% decrease to your career because of sexism. So let's say that we all agree the world in we live in has sexism as an inherent part of it, and we hope to get past that as much as we can, but for the fact of the matter is that right now that exists in our world. Would it then be fair to say, hey, because this is the world we live in, because sexism exists,
slap an ass, just have at it,
then maybe women, it would be detrimental to your career to have a female mentor, and so you shouldn't do it. Now again, I want to emphasize, I have to keep saying this because I don't want people sending me as many emails as they do about your performance in I Call BS. I do not think this is the case. I do not think this is the case. But if it was, let's say we could prove this definitively, would it then be wrong for us to say it? And again, I think because I do not buy their conclusions really at all, and I have no marriage to their ideas, it's easy for me to position this argument because we're not dealing in the real world. This has now become a hypothetical. But is that a touchy question in 2020, which is to ask, if a discovery is politically or socially inconvenient, should it be published? And I'm actually of the opinion that it absolutely should be. Again, not this article, have a lot of problems with it. This doesn't apply here, but in this hypothetical other situation, if we find that a particular group, marginalized or not, has tangible differences, then I think making true statements, regardless of their inconvenience or popularity, is a crucially important task. If for no other reason than without knowing those true statements and analyzing them, you can't begin to fix it.
You begin your rants about Israel with a very similar preamble, and I am as uncomfortable then as I am now. I'm just saying the West Bank, right? The West Bank.
Stop confusing me with that Swedish chef. So, like, for instance, Sam Harris has dealt with this extensively with his talks with James Watson on the whole race and IQ issue. And I think it's a huge mistake to prioritize ideals over facts, especially when recognition of those facts, like I said, it might help us understand and eventually change those facts. So if tomorrow some well-supported research comes out that says pale archaeologists with science podcasts are 50% less likely to sexually please their partner, well, that's not great for me. But I also want to know about it if it's true. If for no other reason than I can try harder.
Your wife and my fiance are friends. I've heard.
Yes, yes.
I have heard, and might I suggest, Bobby, cuckolding. There's a lot of guys on the internet who are willing to tag in. You know, like, hey, sometimes you got to hire a specialist to do things.
Listen here, you human-haired dick. I'll give you a little lesson.
I mean, clearly it could be me. Here's a guy I use.
And by the way, something that I always want to point out to everybody, it's always important to remember to differentiate the individual from the statistical group. So, like, even if this article were valid, and for the umpteenth time before someone cancels me, I don't think it is, but even if it was, that would not mean that if you have a great female scientific mentor, you should drop them and pick a dude. It just means that in the aggregate, more young researchers would be better off picking male mentors. Just like in the aggregate, people of African descent tend to be taller than those of Chinese descent, that doesn't mean Yao Ming is any shorter.
I think about the race stuff, I think the reason it's not talked about and reported on is that, yeah, you can look at this stuff and there are people who can handle this information, but really once it's out there, there are a lot of people who will weaponize this information.
Sure, totally.
I was in the army. Trust me. These guys exist. Donald Trump didn't elect himself, big guy.
Well, hey, here's a great example. We were just talking about sexual harassment. And for the most part, we could say, you know, this many percentage of women experience sexual harassment by the time they end their career. But guess what? There's some percentage who don't.
Who didn't work under Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. And I'm a 6'1" white guy, and I experienced a fuck ton of sexual harassment in my earlier career. So, like, even though I don't fit the demographic, the point is to look at individuals as opposed to the aggregate. And the aggregate just gives us data about how trends are going, but they don't tell us about any individual person's story. So to be honest, like I said, this is an easy article for me to pick apart because I don't believe that in its findings. I don't think it was well done. I don't think it's true.
God, I would love to be the Jesus Christ of this world, but for sexual harassment. I would essentially, I would be sexually harassed for all of mankind's sin. And like, just wherever I go, people just slap my ass, grab my balls.
Yeah, instead of dying on the cross, you died on a stripper pole.
Oh, worth it.
But the point is that scientific findings will not always conform to what we want them to be, and results may surprise or even disappoint us, but that doesn't make them wrong, nor does it mean we shouldn't talk about them. True things are true whether we like that truth or not, and science has to be the one place where we can admit that and act accordingly. So again, for the now umpteenth and one time, this article, I do not think it is valid. I have huge problems with their designs and everything, and the fact that it came out of Abu Dhabi probably has something to do with it, and there's a bunch of issues there, and I think it's actually almost completely invalid. Any data they could have gotten from it, they seem to have skewed in weird ways for a weird desire to do something. But regardless, if inconvenient science comes out later, we have to be ready to act accordingly and not let political things or ideals or anything like that get in the way. Because the end, facts are facts. And the whole idea of science is, even if you don't like that fact, if I find out I have Huntington's disease, I know I'm going to die early, right? And it doesn't matter that I don't like that fact. I can't just tell everybody I don't have Huntington's disease.
Do our international listeners hear you talk and, oh my God, this American, this Yank, seems to listen to fact and reason. Boys, boys, oi, oi, oi. I think he's putting on an act or something. He's turning to Ali G or something.
Quick, sexually harass him.
Grab his tits.
Thank you, audience, for coming back to Science Faction 515, where you learned all about how we made a lightning tractor beam and a huge scientific controversy. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 516.
Listen, I'm way pro-science. Until science tells me that having a quote-unquote hair dick is below average. Then I pick up a Bible.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.